Okay, so great. Good afternoon. This is Adina Laver, and we are here on our monthly support call, Preparing for Divorce, What to Expect Emotionally. And this month for November, our topic for the call is Surviving the Holiday Season. And this is going to be a really full call this afternoon, a lot to share and a lot to talk about. And just measuring by the response that we have on this call, about 50 people measured all over, I will say, the country, and I think we even have an international caller or two. It seems to be something that is on people's minds and really a topic of great interest because it's a difficult time when we're navigating this transition. So really glad to have you on the line. And I do want to say, and I'll say it now and I'll say it in a few minutes, that this call is being recorded, as you may have heard. So everyone who's registered, those of you who are listening, as well as people, our friends who aren't here now but are going to listen back to the recording, will get call-in information to be able to call back into this. So if you want to listen in again, share it with another family member, things like that. So let me introduce who we are. My name is Adina Laver. I am a divorce and relationship coach. I am founder of Divorce Essentials and an affiliate partner of the Mainline Family Law Center, who is sponsoring this call. And the Mainline Family Law Center is a mediation firm that takes a holistic, integrated, and team approach to assisting clients through divorce in navigating in a healthy way and really have a concern for supporting their clients in through the financial, the legal, and the emotional aspects of this transition. They're located in the Philadelphia area, in the main line, as we call it out here, and they have an incredibly resourceful website, which is how you've gotten here, with lots of other information as well. I am on the call today, as I said, a divorce and relationship coach, and I support individuals and couples who are considering, in the midst of or post-divorce, in pursuing a healthy path to a positive future. And we also have on the call with us today a really fantastic guest speaker. I'm going to give her a great introduction in a few minutes, and then she will give a bit of introduction as well. But before I do that, I just want to give a few reminders as to how this call works and so that we can navigate this well. This call is predominantly a discussion between myself and our guest today, Rosalyn Sadaka, on a topic that we know is of concern and interest to the audience, to people who are either considering thinking about divorce and maybe struggling at home with various kinds of difficulties, who may be in the midst of and working out settlement agreements, and certainly thinking about the holidays is an important piece of that, or people who have completed their divorce but are still trying to figure out how do we do this well, particularly when it comes to children and families. And we are going to have a really fabulous discussion today to address all of those things. The call is being recorded, as I said, so everyone here and everyone registered will get the call-in information. I do want to say that while we are on a call-in telecall service that is a really high-quality one, it's not out of the question that somebody could get bumped off. And if you get bumped off, just use the call-in information that you have and call right back in. As a guest, everyone aside from myself and Rosalyn, our guest speaker, is muted in order to eliminate background noise. But we do want you to be in touch with us if you have questions and if you want to do follow-up. So I'm going to give you some information now, and I'll give you some information again at the end of the call as to how to be in touch with us if you have any questions. So you can reach out to the mediation firm at www.myhealthydivorce.com, the Mainline Family Law Center, anytime that you need them. Their website is how you got in through this registration porthole for this call. You can reach me, Adina Laver, Divorce and Relationship Coach, at Laver, L-A-V-E-R, at M as in Mary, L as in Larry, familylawcenter.com, or at Adina at Divorce Essentials with an S at the end, .net. And our caller, Rosalyn Sadaka, we're going to tell you how to be in touch with her as soon as we kind of go through our introductions. So if you have any questions or concerns following this and you hear and you think one of us can be of help to you, please reach out and get in touch with us. Okay, so enough introduction, and want really to get into the focus of today's call. And the focus of today's call is surviving the holiday season. And as I started to say earlier, we do want to help you really make decisions to make the holidays feel a little bit more comfortable entering into them from this difficult time. We have surviving in the title, and we also want you to open to the fact that holiday time is often the times for miracles. So there may be even ways to feel thriving and to feel very grateful and even have moments that you really cherish that can arise from even a difficult situation. And so we're going to hope to place you in a position to get all of the kinds of support that you need to start thinking about those things. So we have on today as our guest speaker, I'm very excited. She made kind of a small appearance in a previous call, and now she is here center stage, is our guest Rosalyn Sadaka, who, as she just said a few minutes ago, is joining us from sunny Florida, a lot warmer than where I am in Philadelphia. And she is a divorce and parenting coach, founder of Child-Centered Divorce Network for Parents, and she has a group on LinkedIn, the Child-Centered Divorce Group, which is one of the most active groups that I think I am a part of on LinkedIn. She's the author of How Do I Tell the Kids About Divorce and an expert writer for Huffington Post, Divorce360.com, DivorceSource.com, Kids Edge Magazine, and many other websites and parenting websites and blogs. Her website is, she has many websites actually, and she's going to tell you some more about them as she does a more elaborate introduction, but she has a website, childcenteredivorce.com. And we have, so you are well taken care of here with somebody who really has been thinking about kids and divorce and families and divorce for a long time. And so Rosalyn, I really want to welcome you today. So I'm so glad you're with us.
Thank you so much. It's just a pleasure to be with you, and this is such an important topic. I'm honored to be sharing some information with your listeners.
That's great. And so, Rosalyn, I gave kind of the, you know, the what's on paper view, but, you know, who are you, and, you know, what is it that really drives your passion about doing this work and being involved in this way? Just share a little bit about yourself with the callers, and then we're going to jump right in.
Okay. Well, I'm a divorced parent myself, and my son was 11 at the time I had my divorce, and there wasn't a lot of good information about how to break the news to him, and I stayed up for weeks of sleepless nights, tossing and turning, trying to figure out how to minimize the hurt for him, and ultimately I came up with an idea at 4 o'clock one morning that I put into use, and it became the foundation for the book that I later wrote, and I waited 15 years after my divorce before writing the book, and my son was then a grown young man when I finally did it, but it gave me the incentive to share what I learned about co-parenting successfully, divorcing successfully, and raising children in a positive way, and my son, I was honored, wrote the foreword to my book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce?, a create a storybook guide to preparing your children with love. And it's a very innovative approach to breaking the divorce news. So if any of your listeners are haven't yet told their children about the divorce, I highly recommend that you check that out at howdoitellthekids.com. But for those of you who are past that stage, we still have a lot of information to share. And ultimately, I founded the Child-Centered Divorce Network, which is a resource filled with free advice, articles, tips, insights. I do coaching services on divorce and parenting, and I have many books and products and courses all related to mastering child-centered divorce, which is basically mastering the art of putting your children first when you're making any decisions about divorce, so that you minimize the emotional, the emotional and psychological and physical impact of divorce on your kids, which I know everyone wants, but not everyone does effectively. And there are easy ways to do that, and that's what we're going to be talking about today as we face the reality of the holiday season, which is a challenge for everyone.
Absolutely. And Rosalyn, you're right. And you provided a perfect segue as to something I wanted to do. I haven't really done this as much on other calls, but I felt like it was important to do today is to really talk about what are the concerns of the people who have registered for this call. And as you said, talking to the kids and concern for the welfare of kids are, of course, top of the list. And I think that's true not only because of the topic of this call, but just because, as you know, that's what it is in divorce for families who have children. And I want to say, as we talk about children, that we don't just mean younger or independent children, but adult children as well. And for many people navigating this journey, and I know we have some callers who are on the phone who have and who do fall into this category of navigating, talking to adult children about divorce and navigating through that process is just different, but can be equally challenging and raise a lot of questions. So we want to address all those definitions of child and children in this call as well. But here are some of the concerns when you wrote in, what are the things that you're worried about as callers? And the reason I want to read it out is, one is I think it's important for you to feel not alone, to know that others are here with the similar concerns. And also, if one of these concerns is not addressed in this particular call, we want you to know that there are resources out here to get that support. And that's what Rosalyn and I do. And this is who we are, and this is the work that we do, is really to get you the support that you need. And so some of the concerns that people wrote in with, and Rosalyn, this is to help us too as we frame our conversation, it's concern about the bitterness and ill will and resentment that we may hold toward our partner, and certainly that plays into how we navigate things like holidays, how to release from the pain, how to be alone, and we are going to talk about that today pertaining to the holidays, but that big question of how to be alone on the other side, concern about upsetting the kids, concern about loss of time with the kids at holidays and other times, how children will be affected. We have some callers on the phone on today who are watching their children. So they may be the grandparents who are watching their children go through divorce. And so we are going to insert something here. I'm going to sneak something in about how family members can be supportive if their son or daughter is going through a divorce. How do we find our own happiness when we've been unhappy? Financial security, navigating explosive reactions of our partners, being enough as a single parent. We also have losing health insurance, and I just want to make a quick note. I'll announce later we are going to have a call focused on health insurance coming in the new year, and facing the unknown. So this is kind of a synthesis and summary of concerns, but I think it really represents our caller as well. And so we will be addressing a number of these as we talk today, and then we want everyone to know that you can get additional support. That's what we're here for. So let's start off talking, Rosalyn, about what is it that really makes this so challenging going through the holidays at the stage when we're either considering navigating or post-divorce. And there are some similarities as well as some things that are different. So we have some callers on today who are maybe haven't even shared with their spouse yet, but are living in difficult conditions at home, haven't yet shared that they want a divorce, but that tension is underlying the holiday season. We have some who are in the midst of navigating the divorce, so they're in that process, making agreements. They may be officially separated, but not finalized their divorce. And then some who are on the other side who are still struggling what to do and how to navigate the holidays. So what are some of the things that really make this such a challenging time for parents?
Well, divorce is a highly emotional situation. The holidays are a very highly emotional time, and we all have memories of past holidays where things may not have gone picture perfect. When you combine the two, first of all, we have a lot of expectations, and expectations inevitably set us up for disappointment. When you combine the expectations with the emotions of memories, past memories of wonderful experiences and happy times when you were a family together, or seeing the children's eyes light up and the laughter and all of that, that's what creates so much pain for us. And it's also the unknown. What is it going to be like this time around? What is this holiday season going to be like? And how are we going to handle the changes and the differences? So the questions are frightening. The emotional experiences of comparing past memories with today's reality is frightening. And when you put all that together with just the reality of holiday season being stressful in general for families, you really have a time that people find very, very challenging to cope with. And it's really important for, and I'm going to be stressing this in other ways as we talk about this, but that the more we focus on the past and make comparisons, that's when we feel the most pain and sadness. because if you listen to what you're telling yourself, you're making comparisons about the way things should be or ought to be. We shouldn't be divorced. My kids shouldn't have to be going through this. I shouldn't have to be struggling with this kind of stress in my life. And the more we reinforce that, the sadder we become, the angrier we become, the more resentful we become. We start feeling helpless. We feel like a victim. And all of that fuels us into a state of despair. And so we have to catch ourselves in what we're thinking and telling ourselves. And there are tools that we can use, and there are other ways of looking at things. We have to look at our expectations and realize that we and only we have control about how we feel about everything. There are choices every moment of the day, and that's a key part of how we can get through the holidays and make this particular holiday much more joyful than we ever anticipated. And we're going to talk about some of the strategies of doing that.
You said so many really important things there, and that idea about our expectations. And one of the things I just wanted to highlight was that comparison that you said. We do have the memories, so we know what the past looked like. And it's, we don't know what the future is going to look like, so we don't have a visual on it yet, right? You know, we don't know where that's going to land. And because we don't, our brain somehow seems wired that we imagine that it's not going to be as good as what was. And this potential, this possibility that things can be good, there can be wonderful things, that things can, some things may even be better than they were before, new opportunities. We don't have a visual on it yet, so we can't really hold on to it, but it's equally likely. It's also there. And so that being willing to let go and really look at what we're holding on to from the past and make space for something that can arise in the future seems like a really important piece of
Absolutely.
Being able to navigate this well. So one of the things as we were planning for this call, I really love the metaphor and that I talk about a lot with my clients is when we're on the airplane and we hear that safety announcement at the beginning that talks about when the gas mask comes down, what do they tell parents and if you're sitting with somebody who's dependent on you to do. And, of course, we always joke that any parent sitting there says, well, I'm not doing what they say. They say put it on yourself first and then help your children. And, of course, you know, any parent I've ever spoken to, the initial reaction is to say, I'm not going to put it on myself first. My children need it. I've got to take care of my children. It's how we're wired as parents. And I say to them, well, what happens if you've got five or six dependent kids sitting next to you? What will happen? And, you know, slowly we realize that if we don't at least put that gas mask on ourselves first and give us that basic kind of oxygen, that we run out. We run out of steam and fuel. So I want to look at parents first, before we even talk to how we talk to the kids, what are our own needs at this point? What is going to give us the resources to even be able to navigate here well? What do we need first?
Well, this is such an important question, and thank you for asking it. Everything has to do with our attitude. And what we need to understand not only now coping with the holidays, but as people coping with the challenges of divorce, and in any other facet of our lives, is that change is inevitable. Divorce basically is a change in our life. And if we could look at it as a change rather than judging it as a disaster or a terrible situation or why did this happen to me or the anger about you did this to me, all of those things, if we look at it as a change in our family, we can accept it more readily. And we have to remember that change is such an important facet of life. We can never stop things from changing. And we change our hairstyles. We change teachers in school. We change our sports and hobbies. We make new friends. We move to different neighborhoods. Things change. With us women, fashion changes. We don't wear shoe styles that have gone out of style. So accepting change is essential for good mental health, and we want to share that with our children. It's a key point in talking about divorce with your children, accepting the differences in their lives year-round, not just in the holidays. When we have resistance to change, that is what's causing the pain that we're feeling. When we have resistance, it says, it shouldn't be like this. then we're feeling painful. But the more we can let go of what was and embrace what is and also what can be, it opens the door to feeling better about ourselves, feeling better about our life, and being more accepting to new and better things happening to us. So acceptance is essential to having more peace and happiness in your life, and conveying that will help your children. We need to anticipate some good ahead. This holiday season can be what you created for your children because they look to you. You're the guide, and your state of mind and attitude will determine how they feel about it. So if you're anticipating that it's going to be fun and different and there'll be changes, if you look for the good, if you catch yourself smiling or laughing and feeling good from time to time, that's healthy for you, and indulging yourself in little things that support you, taking time out for a bubble bath or to visit a friend or seeing a great movie or grabbing lunch with someone you really like, changing your hairstyle, doing all those things in anticipation of the holidays can give you a boost. And by the way, I highly recommend a movie that I saw via Netflix. A movie that I saw just this week called About Time that's out in the theater. It's a romantic comedy, but it has such a wonderful positive message about love and relationships, and it'll just leave you in such good spirits. People in the audience were clapping at the end of the movie. So I highly recommend you go to see About Time, take a good friend with you, and or go yourself and enjoy that movie because it's just what you need at this point in time.
Right. And something you said there just really is resonating with me. Well, many things that you said, but really the power of influence that we have with our attitude. And as parents, we've all been there. You know, we walk into something and we're all excited and we think it's fabulous or fantastic if we have kids under the teenage age, right? You know, then the kids get excited about it. And of course, with teenagers, we might do the opposite. Oh, we can't stand it. We hate it, so that they'll get to love it. But, you know, that whatever attitude we show up with has been influential in our kids' lives for their entire life in many different ways, you know, whether a book is interesting and whether a food tastes good or any of those kinds of things. And that the same is true here, that the attitude that we show up with. And the other thing that I wanted to build on what you said was the fact that change being inevitable, being able to adapt to change is one of the most powerful life skills that we can give to our children.
Yes.
And it's the, sometimes we tell ourselves, well, the consistency, and while consistency is good, it doesn't mean everything always being the same, that the dependency on things being the way they were or being the same can be very detrimental over time because kids are going to be faced with change. And as you said, this is a change that will come in their lives, and kids and human beings in general are very adaptable and resilient and can navigate through when they're guided well with good attitudes. So I think that those were really important things that you said to help, you know, put our own gas mask on first and help take care of our needs and really think about what we come to this process with. So let's talk about the kids and talk about the conversations and thinking about the holidays with the kids. And Rosalyn, I'd like to invite us to think about, we're not going to hit every age group, of course we can't, but as we start thinking about the holidays or talking with the kids about the holidays, for younger children, kind of those teenagers, and then if we have adult kids, what might be some of the conversations that we might be having?
Well, the most important thing is to show compassion. We want to talk to our children rather than lecture, so we want to talk with them and listen to them. Let them vent. Hear what they're saying. Let them express their feelings, their regrets, their emotions, their frustrations. We can't change what is, so we need to acknowledge what they're expressing and be understanding. They may not like the reality of what's happening today or what's happening next month, and we can acknowledge that the fact that they're feeling bad or angry or frustrated is something that's very understandable. Just doing that, just acknowledging their feelings, goes a long way. so they'll be more open to expressing more as well. And be aware that some children will hold their feelings in so as to protect you. Children do that. They don't want to vent and let you know how sad they are because they know you're sad. So reassure them that it's okay to talk about their sadness and whatever else they're feeling and their apprehension about what's going to be ahead for them this year, not only during the holidays, but in the months ahead, what's going to change for them in school, what's going to change with friends, and all the other unknowns. And remind your children that what they're feeling is natural and normal. Be there for them with reassurance and lots of hugs and kisses, and let them know that some of the activities that they're used to will still be part of their holiday celebrations, so they can understand that much of life continues in the same way, despite this divorce. But other things will change, and that's where you need that attitude of creating wonderful new memories and new traditions with them. And hopefully, if you could have a conversation with your ex or soon-to-be ex, then they can do the same thing in their own home, and the kids get a double whammy of new experiences. So this year will lay the foundation for many holidays to come, and you can think about new ways to celebrate, new places to visit, new foods to prepare, creating fresh new traditions of different kinds. It gives your children something to look forward to, and by replacing the old memories with the new, you can make the new holiday special again for them. And if they do the same in their other parents' home, then it becomes an even fuller experience celebrating their holidays. And it's the same with older children and adult children. Listen, let them vent, let them express their feelings, acknowledge what they're feeling, even if there's nothing you could do to change circumstances, and then move on with an attitude that says, what can we do to create something new and wonderful and special for our future with them? And they'll come on board the more you're on board with feeling that this is a new beginning for us all.
And I imagine one of the most challenging things for parents when their kids are upset or expressing frustration or may even say something like, you're ruining everything, these are going to be the worst holidays ever because of you. You know, we know parents have heard these things. And, you know, of course what that does to a parent right away is, oh my gosh, I'm terrible. I'm doing the worst, the most horrible thing. We want to fix it. We want to make it go away. We want to retract our decision. We, you know, all kinds of things when our kids say things like that. So what might you say to somebody who, you know, is getting that kind of initial reaction from their child and is then, you know, terrified that they're really destroying their child's life at the point at which their child is expressing that anger or sadness or hurt?
I was riddled with guilt about my divorce, and it wasn't until my son in his early 20s came to me and said, you know, Ma, you and Dad did a great job with the divorce. Thank you so much, because so many of my friends are so angry at their parents, and I think you guys were great. That's the point when I sighed and said, oh, my God, I did okay. So I get that. It's easy to feel guilty, but at the same time, we just have to watch ourselves and trust ourselves. If we're putting our kids' emotional and psychological needs first, then we're going to make positive decisions. If we let our egos and the selfishness of getting back at our ex determine the decisions we make, that's when we get into trouble, because that's when we hurt our children and we're not focusing on their needs. So let them vent. But then also talk to them about the fact that change is a natural part of life, and change in our family is going to be good. There are good things that are going to be happening. And then catch good things when they do happen around the house. Catch them happy, catch them saying something good, catch them doing something good, and start creating innovative new ways of changing the holiday so that it becomes something exciting to think of. And we'll be talking about that in just a minute.
And one of the things I just want to share, you waited, it sounds like almost 15 years before your child verbalized that back to you. And for me, when I was going through this, the worst 3 weeks was the 3 weeks my daughter did not want to talk to me. She didn't want to come to my house. And of course, you know, generated all these feelings and all these kinds of things, and I allowed her to be in her sadness and anger. And it wasn't but even a few months later when she was able to say to me, you know, Mom, I was really, really angry at you, and now I would never want things to go back to the way they were. And so we can't imagine a future like that when we're in that feeling of pain, but that those things, that those feelings among the kids are out there, and things will be different as you navigate through with a different positive kind of attitude.
That's wonderful that you shared that, because it is very relevant, very important for everyone to understand that kids will pick up on the changes and realize things aren't as dramatically terrible as they may be thinking it is. So give them time and take the time to just be the role model that you want to be, and you'll be pleasantly surprised that they'll acknowledge you for that.
Great. I have so many questions, but I'm going to stick here to, you know, our trajectory, mm-hmm. and then bring more things back in if we have time. But we do want to talk next about some traditions and rituals. And so a couple of the questions that I know I get from people and that are important to talk about is that an initial inclination I get from lots of parents is, even when they're separated, things are difficult. Well, we have to keep as many things as possible the same for the kids. So we as adults will all bring the family together or be together in the same way we were, because that's what the kids need, even though the adults really don't even know how they will do that. So, you know, is trying to keep as much as possible the same for the kids better? Is it, what do we do here to be truly authentic? And I mean, I know we've had some conversation, but let's get into it. And what are some rituals and traditions and things like that, or ways of thinking about rituals and traditions that can be helpful for people here? So let's get into some fun stuff about those rituals and traditions.
Another great question. And again, it's all about our attitude. Our kids look to us to determine our take on how to accept situations. And if we're excited about introducing new traditions, they will much more be likely to accept that and embrace it as well. The younger they are, of course, the easier it is. But no, I wouldn't just try to replicate things of the past, because that's when you're creating the contrast. That's when you're creating the memories. Last year, everything was the same except Dad was sitting there, and now he's not sitting there. So that isn't necessarily the best way of approaching things. I would create new outlets for enjoyment that can be a blessing for you as well as the children. So now you're starting to create new traditions in how and where and when you get your Christmas tree, for example, buying it earlier or later, or trimming it with a new theme, or creating a party with new friends and neighbors to trim the tree, doing it differently, trying new recipes, new combinations of foods, creating a new dessert together with the kids. Maybe you're buying a new ornament that's representative of some place you visited each year, or a new activity or a new sport the kids started. So this is year number one, and it's going to continue from here on. Maybe you're changing the order or the time frame for the activities of who you see, when you see them, how you see them, and eating earlier or later, or opening gifts in a different way or different time, or creating a special time for phone calls to the children's father
or mother
or grandparents or important people, inviting friends over for visits Christmas Eve or later on Christmas Day. Just new times, new ways of doing it. Maybe you're planning a trip and spending the holidays with a friend or a relative rather than at home, or visiting an exciting winter venue that you're going to go to, or adding new activities that you don't usually do, sledding or ice skating, or visiting a zoo or a new museum during holiday week. Anything that becomes fun and special and different is something that starts a new tradition. And bring the children to participate in community events, toy drives, soup kitchens, pet shelters, and other places where they get to understand the spirit of giving selflessly. There's a whole element of lesson and understanding when children get to see that life isn't all about them, and that is, even though they're going through challenges and they're sad, There are other families that are hurting on different kinds of levels. They could be helpful. There's joy in experiencing giving, and they can be sharing that as a new tradition for your family. And again, if their other parent is doing that as well, then it's just broadening their experience of the holidays, making it twice as good in many different ways.
Absolutely. And I just want to ask you to share a word if we have some grandparents on the phone who may be thinking about their grandchildren, concerned about their children who might be going through divorce, and what can they do to help support this process?
Well, grandparents are such an important part of the family, and it's so important for parents to understand that you don't want, if you're divorcing, you don't want to be divorcing your children's grandparents on either side. So invite the grandparents to be part on any level, whether it's by phone and video and Skype and various other ways in technology now, FaceTime. There are so many ways where we can be seeing and interacting with other members of the family. The more open and receptive we are to having the other parents, having the grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, anyone else be part of our traditions, it's all wonderful. And it's important to remember there are no rules about some friend or neighbor of yours saying, oh, you don't do that when you're divorced. You can't do that. This isn't done. Never listen to other people's shoulds about how divorce should be for your family. You create whatever works for you and your children and your children's other parent and the extended relatives. So there's many, many different ways that everyone can be part of the holiday tradition that's supportive and healthy. And again, you're being a role model for your children, every decision you make. So when you keep that in mind, you want to embrace and be open to being as accepting and forgiving as possible, especially during this time of the year.
Absolutely. And, you know, only to add to that, I think if the person, the caller on the phone right now might be a friend, a support person, a parent of someone going through divorce right now, that how you show up matters. And do you show up and lament with your friend or your daughter or your son about what has been and what's going to be lost? Or perhaps you're the one who can help bring the attitude and change and help to shift the person that you're supporting in this, because supporting them and holding on to the past is not really helping them. Supporting them and thinking about, as Rosalind has said, what is and what can be in the future is a great gift that you can give. And you're also a model for the grandchildren and for your own children. And so it's a great opportunity here to really be supportive in that way. I want to spend a few minutes, there's not enough time for this call, but I want to spend a few minutes in talking about the alone time. So if families have separated and now we're sharing time, and that can be a difficult thing. So who gets Christmas Eve, who gets Christmas Day, or who gets the first night of Hanukkah or the last night or whatever our religion is and our celebrations are, is who gets which time can be difficult. But then really the alone time on the other side of it can be challenging as well. So how do we support people who are for the first time might be alone at one of the, or not with their children and their usual family structure for the first time?
Yes, one of the saddest consequences of divorce for parents is the alone times when your children are visiting their other parent. And parents alone during the winter holidays really need to get creative and absorbed in activities that are fulfilling for them. One of the biggest challenges for divorced parents is feeling overwhelmed with grief or self-pity. It's a natural way to feel. The more we dwell on what used to be and on holiday memories of the past, it takes us into a downward spiral that leads to more and more pain and more sadness. Expressing these feelings can also make your children feel guilty about not being with you. So we don't want to be venting to them. Vent instead to a friend, a colleague, a support group, a coach, because you don't want to detract from your children's enjoyment of the holidays. And in most cases, it's out of the children's control, all the decisions that have been made. But here are some suggestions for those of you when you are alone and not with your children. You could create a journal of holiday activities that you could share with your kids when you next see them. So it could be a travelogue of places you visited or people you met or movies you saw or activities you participated in. And you could bring them a souvenir from each place to show and talk about so that when you see them, it could be a paper restaurant menu or a postcard, a T-shirt, a brochure, photos, videos, those kinds of things. And it gives you something to share with them when you see them. Also, you could send emails or text messages of the day to the kids with a theme. So perhaps it's the staying warm tip of the day, or the best TV show of the day, or the favorite candy bar of the day, or the sledding tip of the day, or the favorite frozen yogurt flavor of the day. Whatever your interests are, you could share together, even if it's just a text message or a simple email, so that they can go back and forth. Also, make plans to see the same movie as your kids on the same day and then schedule a call later to discuss the movie and talk about your experiences together. And also remember to step out of your own self-focus. Join a toy distribution or a holiday meal drive and do things for needy families in your community so you feel valued and connected to other people while you're bringing joy to other children. Giving of yourself and to those less fortunate is very therapeutic in many, many healthy ways. So you need to be creative and think out of the box in healthy, supportive ways that you and your children can still stay connected even if you're not physically together, and do it without guilt, shame, or sadness. You'll find you have a lot of life to live on your own and much to offer and much enjoyment that you can get even if your children are not around. But again, it's all about your attitude.
Right. And a lot of those ideas, Rosalind, were so creative and really beautiful in terms of being able to be connected to your kids in different ways. There's also this piece about what you now have the opportunity to do that you may not have. And last year, for the first time in about 18 years, I wasn't with my kids and my typical family structure for Thanksgiving, and I had the opportunity to go to a Thanksgiving that was more adult focused, and the conversation that we were able to have and the experience, I wasn't serving, I wasn't doing all these things, I got to be a guest and I got to really engage, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is really a blessing. My kids are so happy where they are, they're with cousins and they're with family, and they're doing great. And here's something that I'm absolutely loving and enjoying that I never really would have had the opportunity to do, and that it's okay to enjoy yourself in ways that you may not be able to do when you are with children, with your children. So you're love and with your children and connected to them. And then there is opportunities for that adult life that looks differently. And for me, it felt like such a blessing to be able to enjoy this kind of holiday environment that I never would have had the opportunity to enjoy.
I totally agree. And that is such an important message to share.
So I'm looking at the time, and I want us to bring us to, you know, you and I have each been divorced now, and maybe to share sort of the way to cap this off a bit about one thing that did change for us. And so maybe your own story, something that changed or a new tradition that you developed around holiday time or holiday season, and that turned out to really feel like a blessing for you. So I'll share one and you share one, but why don't you start, Rosalind? What was something that changed for you?
Well, what changed is the fact that I learned that I can break rules. My divorce was very different from most other traditional divorces, and I learned that it's okay to do things my way and our family's way. So we got along, and my ex was invited to many holiday traditions and shared meals with us and spent some time during the holidays. And that was okay. It worked great. My son loved that. I had no problem with it. And we went back and forth, and it continued with all of our important family occasions, birthdays and graduations and holidays and big sports games and all of that. So in our family, the change was that we didn't focus on you have to be enemies, you have to be separate. If it doesn't work to be together, it'll confuse the children and all of that. I felt that we could make any changes we wanted. And I have a friend who went on vacations every year with her ex. And now that they both have other partners, they still go on extended vacations together on behalf of the children. And it just works for them because everyone's respectful. So that's just one way of showing that we have to focus on what works for our family unit and not let other people tell us about what's right or wrong.
Yeah, that's great for sharing that. I'll just share a couple of quick things, and then I want to let people know how they can get back in touch with us if they want to explore some things some more. For me, I've also had a fairly amicable divorce, but not a situation where, you know, we spend holidays together and things like that. So things have been more separate, and Thanksgiving last year I was not with my kids. I won't be with them again this year. But two other things that did change is, my current partner is somebody who is more religious, and I was concerned initially that my kids would be really rejecting of introducing new religious rituals and things like that into our life. And initially, I did get the response of, what's this about, and why are we doing this, and all those things. And my conviction in standing by it and with my partner on this and bringing it in with joy and ritual, inviting their friends into it. And it's amazing because now they've completely transformed and they look forward to it. And they look forward to things that just a few months ago they were scoffing at and making fun of. And it was amazing to see the transformation that could occur when I was just really strong in my conviction and belief in this and with standing with my partner in this, and that they really made the adjustment and see how beautiful it is, and it feels good to them. I also was interesting, my family is Jewish, so we don't typically celebrate Christmas, or we don't celebrate Christmas, but my kids love Christmas. They love movies and they love songs, and their father really didn't care for all of that, and we didn't have it in our house together. And now over the holiday, because Christmas is not a family holiday for us, it's become a new tradition. And so I have my kids on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning and hot cocoa and watching movies and sort of having our own little fondness for Christmas from afar experience together, and that's become a new ritual for us, and the kids look forward to that. And so, you know, all things can change and transform in time, and the most important thing you've brought forward, and I think in this, is it's a matter of how we come to it, what our attitude is, and what we're willing to look towards and into the future. And so biggest message I think we both hope that people will take away from this is that that change is possible, and that it will happen in a way, and can, you have permission to do it in a way that is the way it works for you. It does not have to be like anyone else's divorce, anyone else's rituals, anyone else's ways of doing it, that it can truly be the way that works for you and your family.
Absolutely.
So, Roslyn, it has been an absolute pleasure. There's been so much. This call could go on a lot longer, so we'll have to keep thinking and bring it forward. And one thing that we did not talk about here, I was seeing if we could squeeze it in, but we really couldn't, is when our spouse and our partner is not really conveying the same messages to our children. And I know a lot of people really struggle with that. And if you're in that situation, I really encourage you to reach out and get some support. So, Roslyn, I'm going to invite you again to share with people how they can get in touch with you. I'll share with them how they can get in touch with me following this call if they have additional concerns about any of these pieces or other things that we didn't get a chance to talk about. So tell people how they can get in touch with you and what you have to offer.
Certainly. If you visit my website, childcenteredivorce.com, there is free ebook, free tips, articles, insights, all kinds of information, a weekly newsletter, etc. And if you're interested in breaking the divorce news to your children, the website is howdoitellthekids.com. You could reach me personally at rosalindwrites@gmail.com. That's rosalindwrites@gmail.com. And I can answer questions or give you information about coaching. I specialize in divorce and parenting. I don't focus on legal issues, but the kinds of things we were talking about today and more are the areas that I specialize in. And again, childcenteredivorce.com will give you lots of insights, information, tips, articles, and valuable resources on all facets of divorce and parenting.
Fabulous. And so thank you so much. And I am Adina Laver, divorce and relationship coach as well. Rosalind really specializes in the parenting piece and divorce coaching. I work with individuals and also with couples. So I work with individuals, adult-centered and focused, navigating through the divorce and your emotions and experience, finding the voice and strength and navigating through this process in a healthy way that leads to greater personal empowerment, and also working with couples who are struggling in the considering phase and in, who may be at an impasse or stuck around certain things and are looking to find a way to move forward together. And I can be reached in two places, either through the Mainline Family Law Center on their website at www.myhealthydivorce.com. Web email addresses are alaver, at M as in Mary, L as in Larry, familylawcenter.com, or Adina, A-D-I-N-A, at Divorce Essentials, with an S at the end, .net. Website will be operating soon. And so you can reach either of us through the information here. And if you're in the Philadelphia area and you're considering mediation as a form of divorce for your family, for your situation, you can certainly schedule a consult with the Mainline Family Law Center through the MyHealthyDivorce.com website. We will be having another call in the second week of December. You'll be getting more information on that. We're going to have different themes related to the holidays. And in the coming year, we are going to have a call. It will either be January or February on healthcare, because we know that's critical for many people navigating this process, is what happens with healthcare in a divorce situation, and especially for partners who may no longer have health insurance or be covered by a spouse. And we'll also be hearing from Chris Pastore, who is the mediator and founder of Mainline Family Law Center, and talking more about the healthy divorce process. And I think in that call we'll be able to address some of the questions about how to work with a partner through this process when things are feeling so difficult, both from a legal perspective and an emotional perspective. So please keep opening those emails that come and reaching out for the support that you need. This is not the time to go it alone. It's a time to gather around you people that can really support you. Thank you for being on the call today. You will get an email by Friday midday or so typically that has a follow-up to this call, as well as the information for the call back, so that you can listen into this recording again. And if you have a family member you want to share it with, that you can share it with them too. Thank you very much for calling in today. Bye-bye.